Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello and welcome once again to the Gary Zimak Show. I'm Gary Zimak, and you and I, we're going to be hanging out for the next 30 minutes together. I'm so glad that you're able to join me on the program today. We will be taking a look at the Mass readings from Sunday of the 26th week in Ordinary Times, and as you can expect, the readings are powerful once again. You know, it's that way every week, isn't it? When the Lord speaks, man, he's got some great things to say. So we're going to look at these readings in detail and try to get the message that the Lord has for each of us. But before we go any further, I'm going to invite you to pray with me, because at the beginning of every show, you know what I like to do? I like to turn to our Heavenly Father who created us so that he can be in a relationship with us. Isn't that kind of amazing? And he loves to hear from us. That's also amazing. Little old us, right? The Father is so impressed by our presence. He just wants to be with us. He loves whenever we show up and speak with him. Let's talk to him now and ask for the grace to be able to hear him speak. And I'm going to ask for the grace to be able to speak his message on the program today. So without further ado, please join me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, Abba, Father, you love us. You have created us to be in a relationship with you. Father, we are so grateful for that fact. We say thank you for giving us another day. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to speak with you. We thank you for your continued care, your providential concern for every little aspect of our lives. Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our family, to bless our friends. Please continue to reveal your will to us so that we may be able to live out your will in our daily lives. Father, I ask you to speak through me on the program today so that I can deliver your message, the message that you have for each one of us. And Heavenly Father, please give us a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit so that we can be able to hear your words and be willing to respond to them and then go out and put them into action. And Father, we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimak, and this is the Gary Zimak Show. We come to you once a week on either your local Catholic radio station or through numerous podcasting services. However you listen to the program, I am just grateful you're here. And I'd like to invite you to have a seat if you can. If you're driving right now, you don't need to do this, but I always like to say I leave a chair at the table for you. Grab a beverage, sit down, and let's chat. Let's let the Lord speak to us together right now. And give us advice on how we should live our lives. So many times, and please be honest about this, we all do this. We go into Mass, don't we, on Sunday? We hear the readings. We hear God's word proclaimed to us, but our mind is elsewhere. We're thinking of lunch. We're thinking of the football game. We're thinking of so many different things, and yet we're not hearing the Lord speak to us. So let's do that today. Let's make that effort to let him speak to us on the show and give us advice for living our daily lives. He's got plenty of advice for us. He wants to help us. And, you know, I think it would be foolish to not listen to what he has to say. So let's do that. We're going to look at the readings for the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'd like to invite you also, if you want to find out more about me and the work that I do or possibly make a donation to my ministry, head on over to my website, which is followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. You can find out how to invite me to speak at your parish or your conference, or you can find out about my books, or again, if you'd like to make a donation, that would be very much appreciated. Or if you'd like to contact me and let me know what you think about the show, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right, with that in mind, now that we got that out of the way, let's look at these Mass readings. And as I do each week on the program, I'm going to start with the Gospel, because the Gospel drives the entire train. The Gospel leads the way. The first reading is picked to match up to the Gospel, as is the responsorial psalm. The second reading proceeds sequentially. I'm just giving you this overview so you know how all these readings fit together. But the Gospel is the main driver of the Sunday liturgy. So we're going to look at the Gospel for the Sunday, the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'll be honest, the message will sound a little bit familiar. The message will sound a little bit familiar. We have heard a similar message for the past few weeks. I'm going to unpack it a little bit more, but let's get right to it. It comes from Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 19. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. Lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established, to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours, or from your side to ours.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' He said, 'Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' Then Abraham said, 'If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead.'" Ouch! Another one of these painful Gospels. Lord, what are you doing to me? This is supposed to be a show that fills you with hope. But look, again, this is a tough message. But you know what? There is hope. There is always hope in the Gospels. There is also good news in not only the Gospels, but the entire Bible. It's filled with good news. The message is, you have a place in heaven reserved for you. However, can you mess it up? Yes. You can mess it up. You can mess up your place in heaven by not listening to the Lord, by not taking his word seriously. And you know, I've got to deliver the truth to you. This isn't that difficult. The Lord is just saying, listen to me. I'm telling you how to get to heaven. I'm going to give you the grace that you need. I'm going to do the heavy lifting, but you've got to cooperate. So let's look at this Gospel. And this really is a good news message, but it's a wake-up call too. It gets us to realize that we have a role to play in our own salvation. We're not going to get to heaven except by the grace of God, but we've got to cooperate with the grace that he gives us. And more importantly, and I think this is the direction I'd like to go today, I don't want to necessarily talk about if you don't follow the commands of the Lord, you'll end up in hell, but that if you do follow the Lord's commands, you're going to please him. You're going to comfort Jesus, who suffered tremendously for you. That's the important thing. I know we should keep our eye focused on heaven, and yes, that is true. But if we just keep our eyes on the Lord and realize that every time we sin by either acts of commission, by things that we do, or by acts of omission, things that we don't do that we should do, we hurt him. And I don't think any of us want to hurt Jesus, do we? I think the more we think about that, the more that we focus on the pain suffered by Jesus to open up the gates of heaven for each one of us, that we'll have a greater desire to alleviate that pain. And we can do that. How do we do that? By loving him and by loving our neighbor. That's what this gospel is all about. It starts off by Jesus talking to the Pharisees. And right there, that's an indication that this is going to be one of those tough love lessons, right? When Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, these guys are religious separatists. They're elitist. They are loyal Jews who follow the Mosaic law, the law of Moses. They follow the commandments, but they embellish the commandments so much so that they're an exclusive group. They look at themselves as being the privileged few. They are the special ones. Everybody else, they're a bunch of losers. They're not good enough. We don't want to be like the Pharisees, because the Pharisees followed the law to the letter, but that law was not in their hearts. They were not doing it out of love of God. They were doing it to look good. We don't want to do that, right? We don't want to be like the Pharisees. So Jesus is telling a parable to the Pharisees about a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. This was a man who was unnamed, who lived a pretty good life. There is nothing wrong with having money, with having possessions, with being wealthy, with having good health. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's not what the Lord is saying here. But we want to be careful about that. This man is unnamed, and lying at this man's door is a poor man, and his name was Lazarus. And Jesus, as he tells this parable, goes into great detail, painfully gory detail, about Lazarus, who had sores and would gladly have eaten the fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs used to come and lick his sores. I mean, so this guy did not have it easy. But take note of the fact that Jesus mentions him by name, Lazarus. The rich man, the guy who's living a life of luxury, his name isn't mentioned. This tells us of the great love that Jesus has for the poor. And you know, you could be poor in a lot of different ways. You can be living in poverty, but you can also be poor in spirit, which is a good thing, recognizing the fact that everything given to us is a gift from the Lord. And really, we all are poor because we need the grace that the Lord wants to give us in order to get close to him, to follow him, to live out his will in our lives, and to make it to heaven. We can't do anything without God's grace. So we are really all poor, no matter where we are on the financial scale. If we have a lot of money, if we have little money, we are all poor. We need the Lord, and that's an important thing to remember. But Jesus always loved the poor, because the poor are so often taken advantage of. So this is it's an interesting point to start out with, that he mentions the beggar's name, and he doesn't mention the man, the rich man's name. So when the poor man died, he gets carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also dies. He's buried. And from the netherworld, where he was sent in torment, he raised his eyes, sees Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. Even though the parable doesn't specifically say it, it's pretty clear that the rich man is not in a good place. He's not in a good place. Sounds like he could be in purgatory or hell even. And Lazarus, the poor beggar, he is apparently in heaven. So he's in a place of rest. He's getting his reward. And then Lazarus he's with Abraham. And the rich man is begging Abraham to have Lazarus to come to him and cool his tongue with some water. He's suffering torment in these flames. So, I mean, obviously, you could say he is in purgatory, but it sounds like it's pretty sure he is in hell. He is not in a good place. And it's clear from this parable, he can't get to where Abraham and Lazarus are. and they can't get to him. There's a division there. And if any of us ends up in hell, we're putting ourselves there. Hell is a place that we can't say God sends us to hell because he doesn't. God sends no one to hell. We can put ourselves there because we want to be separated from God. We start out, we make decisions in this life. And if we decide that we want to be separated from the Lord and do our own thing and not be with him, he's going to give us our wish. And we can end up in hell one day. And again, that's one of those harsh realities. It's the truth. But I don't want to dwell on it, but we need to know that. So Jesus, as he continues this story, goes on to tell of the rich man begging, saying, all right, well, if you can't quench my thirst with water, please at least warn my five brothers. And Abraham replied in this parable, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. And he says, no, Abraham, you don't understand. But if someone from the dead comes to them, they will repent. And then Abraham says, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they're not going to be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead. And I think that's a very interesting way that Jesus leaves this parable. Some people will not be persuaded even if somebody rises from the dead. Who do you immediately think of? You think of Jesus, don't you? So many people look at the life of Christ. They might know a detail or two, or they might know a lot about the life of Jesus, but they're not impressed enough to listen to him, to follow him. And Jesus recognizes this when he tells the story. Here's the deal with this rich man. He lived a life of luxury, and he had this beggar at his doorstep every day. He didn't help him. That's the message for us. Again, it's not an easy message to deliver, but it's a simple one. It's one that we can listen to and understand. Jesus is telling us, take care of the poor with our resources, financially and with our time, talent, and treasure. But don't neglect the treasure. That's the one part that we sometimes like to downplay. Jesus is saying, yes, we could be poor in many different ways, but don't underestimate the fact that we are called to share our financial resources, our money, with those in need. We've got to help the poor if we have it. And if we don't have it, we can find some way to give something, right? But that's going to be a decision that each one of us have to make when we pray to the Lord. I don't want to downplay the fact that we are called to financially help the poor by giving to our church, by giving to various charities, by possibly giving money to the homeless person on the street. Whatever you do, know that you are responsible to help the poor with your wealth. And again, you might not have a lot, but it's proportional. But in addition to that, we're also called to share our time with other people. Share Jesus in other ways by being nice to them, by maybe telling them about Jesus and his church, by maybe sharing a Bible verse. There's all kinds of different ways that we can help the poor in our lives. Somebody like this beggar Lazarus, he wasn't able to help himself, but he ended up in heaven because the Lord favors the poor. The Lord loves the poor because they are so often taken advantage of. The message is clear. We are called to help the poor. I think you got that by now. There's not too much more I can say about it. But let's look at the first reading, and you'll see a common theme there. The first reading comes from the book of the prophet Amos, beginning in chapter 6, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, woe to the complacent in Zion, lying upon beds of ivory, stretched comfortably on their couches. They eat lambs taken from the flock, and calves from the stall, improvising to the music of the harp. Like David, they devise their own accompaniment. They drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the best oils. Yet they are not made ill by the collapse of Joseph. Therefore, now they shall be the first to go into exile, and their wanton revelry shall be done away with. Look, the message is for us. Let's not be complacent. Let's not be so focused on our own individual needs that we are not praying for those who are unfortunate and who are struggling, that we are not giving financially if we can, and that we are not sharing our time with other people. And that we could share a smile, we could be nice to people, we could pray for them, we can give financially to the best of our ability. There are things we can do. The message here is don't get so complacent and self-righteous like the Pharisees did, then all you're concerned about is your relationship with the Lord, your good standing. You could even be a really good person and go to daily Mass and somehow be missing the point that there's people around you who need you. It might be members of your family. It might be your friends. It might be coworkers. It might be people at church. It could be somebody you meet in the supermarket. People need you. We love God by loving Him, right? When we pray, when we read Scripture, we can love the Lord by being devoted to Him, by fasting, by prayer. We can also love the Lord through other people, because that's sometimes more difficult to do than loving Him on our own, in our own room, in church. That can be easy at times. And sometimes, and again, this is going to be one of those tough love pieces of information, but it's really true. Sometimes when we think we're loving the Lord, we're really doing it because it makes us feel good. I've done that. You start off with great intentions. I'm going to spend some time with the Lord in prayer. But then your child bothers you because they need something, or your wife or your husband needs something, or you get a phone call and you get annoyed. I can't believe this person. They're interrupting me and I'm trying to pray. But so often the Lord is doing that because He wants us to recognize His presence in other people. We love God by loving Him directly, but we also love Him in other people. Let's not forget about the people who need us. Not everybody knows about the teaching of Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church. Maybe we can share that with somebody. Maybe we could post something on social media, a positive Bible verse or a good story. Share the Lord. Don't worry about looking stupid. We need to recognize that there are people hurting in the world. They are living in poverty, absolutely, so we can contribute to them financially. But they're also living in spiritual poverty to the extent that so many people don't know Jesus. They don't know the love that He has for them. They are living with anxiety and depression and fear. They are trying to get happiness through all everything of the things of the world and completely neglecting the Lord. Maybe they need somebody like you to reach out to them. Don't forget about that person. Our time on earth is limited. We're given a limited amount of time. We're being tested right now. It doesn't feel like it, but that's what's happening. If you want to live forever with the Lord in heaven, we've got to pay attention. We've got to be ready. We've got to be awake, and we've got to be willing to step into action. When we do that, when we start reaching out to the other people, when we start giving to the poor, and again, there could be many definitions of poor, but when we start getting out of our own selves, getting out of our own heads, thinking about other people, you're going to get that happiness and peace that you're looking for. That's the way it works. The more you give of yourself, the more you're going to receive in return. But until you do it, that model doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense, because in the eyes of the world, it makes no sense. But that's the paradox of Christianity. Try it and you'll see what happens. The responsorial psalm comes from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord, my soul. And listen to some of the words of the responsorial psalm from today's Mass, from Sunday's Mass. Blessed is he who keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. See, there's that theme again. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who were bowed down. That's Lazarus. He couldn't help himself in this life. What happened? The Lord recognized that he suffered and he raised him up. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects strangers. In other words, those people that can't help themselves, the Lord's going to help them. The fatherless and the widow he sustains, but the way of the wicked he thwarts. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, through all generations. Alleluia. And when we look back to that parable from the gospel, the rich man, he didn't mess up because he had a lot of money, he had a lot of possessions. The reason he messed up was that the Lord was sending him Lazarus, who was this beggar, at his doorstep. The Lord was appearing to this man in the form of somebody who's very poor because he wanted this guy to share some of what he had. He wanted him to get out, to stop thinking about himself and reach out to somebody else. Had the rich man done this, all would have been well. It would have worked out for him. And that's why sometimes we get mad at the Lord. We wonder, like, why do you allow poor people? Why do you allow poverty? I can't give you all the reasons, but I can say one thing for sure. The poor exist so that those of us who have something, a lot of times we have a lot more than we think we do, The poor exist so that we can share, so that we can love God through those individuals. Sometimes we forget how blessed we are. If we have a roof over our head, if we're able to have three meals during the course of the day, if we have hot and cold running water, there's lots of people that don't have these things. So let's keep that in mind. Let's look at the second reading. It comes from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. But you, man of God, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Compete well for the faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were called when you made the noble confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you before God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who gave testimony under Pontius Pilate for the noble confession, to keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the blessed and only ruler will make manifest at the proper time. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, and whom no human being has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power. Amen. A couple of highlights from this letter of St. Paul. He says to pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness, compete well for the faith. And then he talks about laying hold of eternal life to which you were called. In other words, here's the good news. I talked about it at the beginning. We were called to live with the Lord forever in heaven. Total happiness. But we've got to make it through this life first. How do we do that? By pursuing righteousness, as St. Paul says, by taking care of the poor in our lives. And again, it doesn't have to be somebody who's living in poverty. It might be your child who needs you. It might be an elderly parent. It might be your spouse. It's okay to put the Bible down sometimes and talk to them. They might need to just talk to you. Make time for the Lord, but also make time for other people. That's the mistake that this rich man made. And in the parable that Jesus presents to the Pharisees, it didn't end well for him. I want it to end good for you, and it will. Love the Lord by loving him directly and by loving one another, and you're going to just be fine. Okay? Guess what? We are just about out of time. Man, I love doing this show, and I thank you so much for listening to the program. Again, please reach out to me through my website, followingthetruth.com, followingthetruth.com, and you can find out more about the work that I do, my books, how to invite me to speak at your parish or conference, and if you're able to make a donation to support my full-time ministry, I would be incredibly grateful. You can do that securely by going to followingthetruth.com, and let me know what you think about the show. I would also like to pray for you. I pray for you every day, but if you have a specific intention that I can pray for, just contact me through the website, followingthetruth.com, and I'll be able to pray for you more specifically. And again, I can't thank you enough for listening to the program. Please continue to pray every day that the Lord gives you the grace and that you can cooperate with the grace to follow his will, and you're going to be fine. You'll end up in heaven by doing that, and I God willing, I hope to be there as well. All right, I'm going to run. Until we meet again, this is Gary Zimak reminding you, as I always do, that wherever you go, whatever you do, be strong and courageous. I don't want you to be discouraged or afraid. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Catch you next week on the Gary Zimak Show. God bless you.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.